KFAI-FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, online and archived at kfai.org.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
You are listening to Fresh Air Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis and 106.7 in St. Paul. This is Health Notes from the Hearts of a Natural Woman.
This program will inspire you, inform you, feed you healthy recipes, engage you politically, enlighten you spiritually. Help me name it. I'm no longer doubtful of what I'm living for. And if I make you happy, I don't need to do more. Cause you make me feel. You make me feel.
Go, girl.
Good evening. You're listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM in Minneapolis, and we're streaming online at kfai.org. And this is Health Notes from the Hearts of a Natural Woman, and I'm Kinshasha. This evening, we're talking with Dr. Chris Morris. He's a naturopathic physician, 30 years of experience looking at systems, and he has a real appreciation for nature and uses the heart versus the head in his practice. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening, Kinshasha. Thanks for having me.
Let's start a little bit by talking about you. How is it that you got into naturopathic medicine?
Well, believe it or not, it was quite a journey. Great interest in the sciences and medicine going through school. And then because of opportunity with athleticism, I had a scholarship football for college. I was good enough to get drafted in the pros. So I actually was drafted by the Minnesota Vikings. After playing professional ball for 4 or 5 years, I realized and learned a great deal more in the off seasons about medicine and natural healing. Went to Europe, learned more about homeopathy and a whole nother side of medicine, which is energy medicine. After getting out of football, which everyone knows is pretty physical, abusive sport, started working on myself, used a lot of these alternative remedies that I was learning about versus just going to the conventional approach. And that moved me in the direction of naturopathy and appreciating the alternatives that came from nature and diet, nutrition, different types of therapies using sound and light and water therapies.
Because I never want to presume that anyone understands anything, can you explain to us two different things? Explain to us what is homeopathy and what is actually being a naturopath? What does that mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, a naturopath is a physician that uses natural remedies more than, let's say, pharmaceutical. So we help people find an alternative to a pharmaceutical approach, which most prescription drugs and over-the-counter medications have a toxic element to them. Even though they're very beneficial in many cases, there's a side effect. And if you can prevent that from happening with a person, you know, avoid that introduction of that pharmaceutical toxicity, then going a natural route is much, much cleaner, safer. Usually the body finds a way to, you know, recalibrate itself, find a new homeostasis, new balance, all that means. So naturopathy deals with looking for what's happening in nature. Then there's another part of naturopathy that goes back to the European traditions, because a lot of naturopathy here in this country is very allopathic and has gotten very left-brained and has gotten away from the natural model. And this is why in your introduction you're saying that it's about heart medicine, not so much head medicine. And the reason for that is because nature is not linear. It's nonlinear. There's no straight lines in nature. You see an ebb and flow of life. And that's what we have with the body. It's not mechanistic. It's very dynamic. It has tides, you know, pH tides that go very alkaline and acid. It has tides of pressure, blood pressure. It has tides of just respiratory rates that are regulated by the nervous system and the endocrine system, you know, the powerful chemicals that we produce. So the more we can reconnect with nature, the more that we can find our rhythm within the total being of everything that exists in life, we find that the healing becomes much, you know, facilitated.
So where does homeopathy fit into what you just talked about?
Homeopathy would be one branch of using a safe alternative to facilitate an energetic approach to the body. Homeopathy is working with like treatments. That's what homeopathy means. Like treats like versus allopathic, where you work with an opposite. So something that goes against what the person is experiencing. So it was originally designed by Hahnemann. It goes back even hundreds, if not thousands of years before that, with Greek medicine and even Egyptian medicine, where they understood working with similars or like substances to initiate, let's say, a symptom that would allow the body to recognize what it's trying to overcome. Mm. So you would use a like substance that would mimic a symptom, but it's an energetic form of the substance so that there's no toxic implication to it. So you could treat for mercury toxicity, you could treat with the energy of a mercury molecule, okay, that would facilitate the body's recognition of what it needs to do to expel mercury from the body, or other remedies that would be found through an energetic approach, like Bach remedies, the flower remedies. Dr. Edward Bach, back in the mid-1900s, he had such a sensitive nature to him that he was able to discover different flowers in nature that would facilitate emotional imbalances in the body.
We're talking with Dr. Chris Morris this evening on Health Notes, naturopathic doctor, heart medicine doctor, and language is so important, and again, I never want to presume that anybody understands anything. So when you're talking about an energetic approach or energy medicine, can you explain that to us?
We're a manifestation of our consciousness. It's almost like who we are is this spark of energy that facilitates the running of the body. Just like we plug in the lamp, you know, so we can get the light. Well, we're plugged into this universal energy, and it's individualized consciousness that makes each one of us unique. Once we run this body energetically and understand it, that it's a manifestation of our consciousness, of our energy, then we can appreciate all the energetic dynamics that we absorb back into it or are exposed to. So if we're made up of energy, it makes more sense that we're going to look at more energetic cuisine in order to feed ourselves rather than something that's dead and processed. If we're energetic beings, we're going to look at the environment that's around us that activates the other nerve centers in our body. We just don't have a head brain. We have a heart brain, and we have a gut brain. And in the heart brain, we connect to the feelings of the world and the environment. And the abdomen, or the gut brain, we connect to that intuitive part of ourselves. You know, and you hear these terms, well, my gut intuition tells me to do this, or my feelings tell me to do that. You know, and this is more of an Eastern philosophy. You ask the person in Asia or, you know, the Eastern cultures, you know, what do you think about this? Well, they'll point to their heart when they say that they think from here. You know, they come from their thoracic area.
I love that. I'm wondering, when we're talking about the heart, and I'm thinking about, obviously, love, what does love have to do with our health and with wellness?
Well, I think it has, if not everything, a great deal to do with it, because it's our connection to life. You know, so much of our dysfunction, so much of our maladies and our imbalances come from a sense of really the illusion of separation. And that's a love for, you know, whether God or love for ourselves or love for nature that we're a part of. All of these things, love gives us that connection, that ability to be intertwined. But without that sense of appreciation and love that comes with that connection, we create this separation that is really manufactured. Even though that love is there, it's something that we disconnect from because of our belief systems or our misunderstandings.
When I think about America and the kind of imbalances or diseases that we seem to create, number one and number two are heart disease, and cancer is a big one, and probably number three would be diabetes. And so when I think about all of those things, I think about an emotional relationship, something that's going on emotionally. I think about diet, and I think about environment. And I was just wondering what your thoughts are about it. I mean, it's just a bit curious to me how all of these diseases get more and more prevalent, and the more money that they throw into it, the more prevalent. It doesn't seem like it makes it go away. It just seems like it becomes more and more prevalent. And so I'm just trying to understand what's going on, because certainly the information that mainstream media is feeding us doesn't make much sense to me. I don't understand it. It doesn't fit anything that makes sense to me logically, and it certainly doesn't fit anything that my gut or that my heart is experiencing. What is your take on all of this?
Well, it's a great question, Kinshasa, and boy, if we can just expand on this. I really feel strongly about how we've created this disconnect. The healing arts are really just that, the arts. It's not so much formula medicine that comes from the head or logic. You know, the sciences have gotten too much left-brained. It's not that our science and technology isn't incredible. It really is, and it's great for our diagnostic tools, but we've gotten away from that sense of understanding the disconnect with nature and our connection to the heart. You know, the heart is our organ that allows us to really make that, not just the connection and feelings, appreciation and love, but it's also a rhythm pole. It's where the heart and the lungs, the beat goes and connects us to the logical thinking from the head and the intuitive process from the gut. So if we can find a way to reconnect, and I think that's what I mean by when I say heart medicine, help the client or the patient really reconnect to their core being. another aspect of energy medicine is acupuncture. A lot of people are familiar with that, not just homeopathy, but acupuncture. And what's interesting is that when you look at Chinese medicine and you look at the body, you look at the liver, because that is really the general of the body. It regulates the qi for, you know, the other systems, the heart and lungs and kidney and, you know, the stomach and spleen. When the practitioner looks at what comes from the heart, that's the shen. That's the shen energy, which is the spirit. So the general might be the liver, but the emperor comes from the heart. And so that oversees everything. And what you see in the conditions that you mentioned earlier that are devastating our country, you know, the big three, the one in two killers are heart disease and cancer, and diabetes is escalating out of control. And when you think about people are missing out in the sweetness of life, okay, they're craving that, but they've lost that control mechanism. And it's a metabolic disorder of insulin, a hormone that regulates, you know, or actually stores energy. Most people think diabetes is a blood sugar disorder, but truly it should be recognized as a imbalance in the control of insulin. And we've created a dietary regimen where we've lost control of the insulin because of the way we eat and abuse that organ that manufactures that insulin for storage of energy. So we regulate blood sugar not by bringing it down, but by storing the excess energy into fat. And the body uses that fat when it's needed for, you know, energy, because that's how it runs best. We keep a little bit of sugar for some of the cells in the body in the bloodstream, but fat is probably one of the most efficient things that we use for energy to burn. And the byproduct is water and carbon dioxide, you know, so we breathe out the CO2 and urinate out the water. So it's very clean. And so we've found that we've created a dietary regimen of too much protein and too much carbohydrate, and subsequently we've lost that balance that our genetics has developed over thousands and thousands of years. The ailments that we're seeing that predominate now are the obesity, which is a precondition for the diabetes, and the precondition for heart disease and precondition for cancer. The heart disease, again, treated mechanistically, like we have this plumbing system that gets blocked up and causes the heart attack or the stroke in the brain. Well, how comes we don't have a liver attack or a foot attack? You know, we've got other arteries that get blocked up. The new medicine is showing, I mean, there's a brilliant cardiologist out of Brazil that did a whole new study in the 90s and showed how it's the blockages are not the issue. It's after the breakdown in the tissue, which is created by an imbalance of pH, meaning it becomes too acidic or it doesn't have enough oxygen. The balance of minerals, which maintains the pH, is lost. Then that acidic condition creates lactic acid residue, and then over time that acidity creates the inflammation, and the inflammation, you know, is what creates that angina, which is the pain, or else the attack, which causes the cells to die off. What's interesting is that when they look at a heart attack patient, now that we have this new technology to look at an individual either during the crisis or soon after, the blockages don't form until after the heart attack, because a lot of individuals will have a heart attack and they'll look at the arteries that go to that part of the heart and there are no blockages, even though they'll find blockages in the heart and the heart arteries. The ones that where the dead cells are and the attack occurred, there was no blocked arteries. And so how could the person have had the heart attack? See, the model is skewed, and nobody's asking the right questions now or going after the discrepancies that exist and what they're finding. This is why we've gotten away from how the body has gotten out of balance, disconnected with nature because of the foods that we're eating now and how we're handling stress and how we're looking at taking care of the different imbalances. You know, rather than a pharmaceutical symptomological approach, we need to take some type of natural form of food or nutrient that brings the body back into balance so that the tissue integrity is there and it doesn't go into this ischemic, you know, attack mode that happens with a heart or a stroke in the brain.
Got a shop, studio, food truck, or side hustle with soul? KFAI loves small businesses that keep the Twin Cities vibrant. Underwriting with us gets your name out to listeners who care about showing up, buying local, and spreading the word.
Underwriting with KFAI is not just support, it's connection. Let's grow something good together. Learn more at kfai.org/underwriting.
We're talking with Dr. Chris Morris, naturopath, 30 years experience, and wow, is all that I can say about what you just said. Certainly that is just the opposite of what we've been taught, that it's the problems with the arteries that create the problem in the heart. The thing that I think I appreciate most about the way that you're talking is that everything that you're saying is talking about the body as a whole, as opposed to compartmentalizing it, which is the way that most allopathic doctors do, is that they look at this particular symptom and try to treat that symptom, as opposed to looking at the entire system itself and how everything is connected, how one thing is connected to the next. I just want to make sure that my listening was right. So whatever imbalance was already happening in the system already made the heart just say, enough, I don't want to do this anymore. To me, it kind of sounded like it was our hearts, heart attacks are kind of our heart's way of screaming for attention, that I need a change here, because the way that you're feeding my system, or the way your lifestyle or whatever isn't feeding me, then I'm being deprived somehow.
Very much so, Kinshasa. Let's look at the chemistry of it all. It's really about getting oxygen into the body. I mean, oxygen is what carries the prana. That's what carries the chi, the energy. You know, if you look at the Eastern traditions, whether it's Ayurvedic medicine or Chinese medicine, the systems that have been around for thousands of years, when we deprive the body of oxygen, it loses its capability to make energy. It makes energy, we're energy machines. We're not mechanistic, you know, we don't have a battery. Nobody's plugged into the wall socket, or we don't have these battery packs that keep us going. We make energy from the food we eat, and the food that's been created by what? The sun. The plants grab the sun and the water and the air, the CO2, and they manufacture the carbohydrate. So that's just stored solar energy. And we eat that carbohydrate, you know, that plant, and release that energy. And if we release too much of it too fast, guess what? Too much concentrated carbohydrate, we get that burn. We get that sunburn inside, and this is what we're getting, that individual that gets sugar regulation problems, the insulin imbalance that we're talking about with diabetes, which is getting so prevalent. I mean, we're looking at something like 23 to 24 million diabetics today, and that's supposed to double by 2020. As much as, 45 to 50 million. It's not a genetic thing, because here we're looking at these changes in the last 50 years where you still have one or, two generations that there's no way genetically we could have created that much. So type 2 diabetes, which is predominant, is this imbalance of losing the regulatory capabilities of not just insulin, but another hormone called leptin. And this is a newly discovered hormone that's created by our fat cells. And when you look at the probability and the difficulties that obesity can create, it's because of the fat cell produces this hormone called leptin. And it's a very unique hormone that regulates the body far above and beyond what the brain or the endocrine system can do. So when you think about a hormone that comes out of a fat cell that can override what your hypothalamus directs for food satiation or reproductive capabilities, or what your endocrine system, your pituitary, is trying to regulate with production of adrenaline or insulin, or all the things that your endocrine system does, metabolic function of the thyroid, that shows you how powerful this hormone is. And so just like diabetes is diagnosed as a condition of insulin resistance, type 2 diabetes, before that usually happens, most diabetics have a leptin resistance because they have so much fat and so many fat cells that the leptin information that's coming out to tell you to burn fat, to tell you to stop eating because you're full, to tell you that, you know, to slow down your metabolic function or increase your metabolic function, all the things that leptin can regulate, all those things get lost because you have leptin resistance now in the body. You've been getting that message so overabundant and so overflowing in your system that you create a resistance to it, a lack of sensitivity. So first comes leptin resistance because you've lost the sensitivity of it, and then you get insulin resistance, and then once you have insulin resistance, you've got diabetes. You've got a condition that's escalating in this country, but nobody's being told what are the original sources and causes of this condition. And that's a precursor for all these other issues, heart disease, even worse, cancer.
Is it possible to turn that around, to reawaken our connectedness to the hormone leptin and to turn around type 2 diabetes?
Absolutely, absolutely. What's interesting is that, let's talk economics here. We're looking at $2.4 trillion cost to our economy for healthcare. I mean, we spend double what any other westernized culture or advanced culture does, and yet we're just declining in our healthcare status within the world as far as the United States is concerned. And when you see that we pay double and are not getting the benefits or the longevity that we should for the return on our dollar, you look at that 2.4 million, or excuse me, trillion, not billion, but trillion, 1.8 trillion is dedicated to the big three, cancer, heart disease, and diabetes. And when you realize that we're not even looking in the right direction of how to deal with these issues, that money's just being wasted. So you're spending all this money on unblocking arteries and putting in stents and doing balloons and doing all these invasive procedures. And believe me, to save a life, they're very important, and oftentimes they are necessary. But the amount of attention and diagnosis that is being played to using those therapies as a preventative are totally going in the wrong direction, because there's a much safer, simpler way. The point I'm trying to make is that 80 to 90% of those big three, heart disease, cancer, and diabetes, can be prevented if people look at changing lifestyle and eating and look to supplementation.
The thing that's so interesting to me about all of those disorders, if I'm correct, even once they do these invasive procedures, once you're on the insulin, once you're doing whatever it is, once they've opened up your chest, and then obviously another piece in there is this, I recently heard last week that they did research on which procedure was better, the lap band or gastric bypass surgery, and they concluded that the gastric bypass was the better procedure. Even after you do these horrible procedures, and I just say horrible in the fact that it's so invasive on the body and people have no idea of how out of balance it puts their systems once they get these things going. Once that's done, then any responsible doctor is going to tell them that they need to change their lifestyle and move to a strong vegetable-based diet, for example, anyway. And if you're going to do that after the fact, why not do it before the fact?
Exactly. Well, to get back to your original question on leptin, that is something that can be reversed. With the right nutrients and exercise, which is a key component to lifestyle, you reactivate the body's ability to become more sensitive to leptin. And subsequently, you become more sensitive to insulin. And when that happens, you find that the individual has to look at, if they're on medication, to reduce their medication so that they don't over-medicate. Especially with a diabetic, low blood sugar is just as dangerous as high blood sugar, or if they're on high blood pressure medication. Low blood pressure is just as dangerous as high blood pressure medication. So when people start these new routines and have a better appreciation of the importance of taking good care of themselves with their diet and their exercise and rest, they find that all of a sudden they don't need as much of their medication, and they should work with their doctor so that they can, you know, start lowering their medication and not be over-medicated.
And in case you just tuned in, we're talking with naturopath Dr. Chris Morris, 30 years of experience in natural medicine. You talked about trillions of dollars, which is pretty mind-boggling to me. So when I think, for example, of cancer research, that's really big bucks. I was watching something on Dateline about Suzanne Summers and her book Knockout, that talked about alternatives to allopathic medicine, and certainly the medical community came out to come against her. And one of the premises of her book was that despite all the research, that the things that they're doing to the body are still pretty barbaric, and that the economics of cancer, that they, even if they, there have been many different kinds of cures for cancer. The one thing that I have come to learn from doing radio for so long and observing myself and observing others is that the body can use diet to heal itself. It can laugh itself well. There's just so many different ways that the body can heal itself that I guess goes into what you're talking about, but the economics of it makes it kind of impossible for the allopathic community to really come up with a so-called cure for cancers, because if there were cures, then all that money that's coming into it would dry up. Am I just being skeptical in your opinion?
Not at all. When you realize that of the $2.4 trillion, $1.8 trillion of that money goes to the big three. And so you have these incredible institutions in place that just continue to, let's say, create unending wheel or cycle of looking in the wrong direction for something that can be dealt with in a more natural way. So how can you ever find a cure if you're not really looking in the right direction? And that takes us back to seeing the body as an energetic being and understanding the formative forces. You know, it regulates itself through its different centers. You know, we talked about the three different brains, the head brain, the heart brain, and the gut brain. And you have the meridians that in Chinese medicine, you know, regulate the flows between the organs and the systems of the body and maintain this balance of the yin and the yang, the qi in the body. When you see the developmental stages of the body itself from an energetic perspective, you begin to appreciate how much energy plays a role in facilitating that holistic connection, not only within ourselves, but with everything else in life. And I'll give you an example. A child's born and the baby comes out and they're mostly just head. You know, all the formative forces are in the head of the body and forming the nervous system, the head brain and the central nervous system. And what few people realize is that when those formative forces predominantly recede down to form the rest of the body, the visceral organs, you know, the rest of the endocrine system and the organs and glands of digestion and elimination, that cycle of shift is when the baby loses the baby teeth. The baby teeth start to loosen because the formative forces have descended more into the thoracic area, into the abdominal area. And so around ages 6 or 7, that's when the teeth should loosen. And I've worked with children that would come in and they're hyperactive and they have eating disorders because they're just not craving natural foods or whole foods because of this hyperactivity. One of the first things I look to is to look at the teeth, and I see that they still have their baby teeth. what that's telling me is that all that formative energy is stuck in the head area and isn't descending naturally as it should with a cycle of growth in life. That's when you come in with homeopathic medicine. That's when you come in with acupuncture to facilitate that movement of energy. With the right homeopathic, one case I can share with you of an 8-year-old boy, the mother explained how the child was, you know, hyperactive in school and at home and difficult to deal with. Once they were given the remedy and that energy was allowed to go down and go into the rest of the body, then the teeth loosened. The child started craving protein instead of sugars and good fats. And his nature calmed down. Within 2 weeks, the teachers even commented how he was doing so much better in school and wanted to, you know, facilitate with, you know, even cleaning the erasers from the chalkboard. And so this was purely an energetic condition. And you say, well, what caused it? Well, I asked the mother, you know, what happened early in his life? She said, well, there was a divorce in the family when he was 4 years old. And children are so, you know, receptive, or they're so sensitive to their environment. In his case, he took on a lot of that stress and energy that was created by the parents. And again, with the homeopathic remedy and with some, you know, talk therapies or just some nurture and love and understanding, it allowed that individual, that young boy, to take the next step in his life rather than taking a pharmacological drug that would, you know, suppress the nervous system, shut down his true nature, you know, lose that ability for him to discover, you know, what he was really meant to be and form in his life and develop his body, what needed to happen. So when we talk about formative forces, we look at cycles in nature. This is part of that dynamic that we mentioned earlier. And so the next stage of form would be the rest of the body, which would become an adult body. And what does that happen? It happens around puberty, right? So the next 6 to 7 year cycle, you're seeing around age 13 and 14, the child, the teenager, goes into puberty, and the whole body's formed, and then the formative forces move into the emotional body. And then later on, at ages 20 and 21, it moves into the mental bodies. So now you're seeing all the dynamics of natural formation that allows the homeopath to know where to direct the energetic medicine, or the acupuncturist where to direct the facilitation of balancing the energy in the organ or the system that was deprived or was subjected to too much stress according to the developmental growth of the individual. So this is a whole different type of history that you take in naturopathic medicine, so that you can appreciate, you know, what could have been the causative factors for this imbalance in the body or the weakness in this organ or the difficulty that person is experiencing that's setting them up for something down the road that can turn into a chronic degenerative disease.
Support for KFAI comes from the Dakota, presenting Florida Toloache, Tuesday, October 28th.
New York's first all-female mariachi band fuses traditional rancheras with reggae, bachata, cumbia, rhythm and blues, jazz, flamenco, and pop to expand and revolutionize the idea of what mariachi music is and what it can be.
More information about Florida Toloache at the Dakota can be found at dakotacooks.com.
And in case you just tuned in, we're talking with naturopath Dr. Chris Morris, 30 years of experience in natural medicine. You know, the one thing that seems to be an ongoing theme for most Americans anyway is the issue of sweetness in our lives. And when I'm thinking about the whole issue of sweetness or lack of sweetness that people seem to subsidize with various forms of sugar, I think of another epidemic that is very rarely talked about and certainly never talked about in depth. Never is a long time. Let me change my language. I have never heard an allopathic doctor get into conversations or look at the whole issue of candida or yeast overgrowth in myself or in anyone else. I'm thinking about the whole issue of candida because I'm on a major 6-month thing to get the yeast out of my own body, and I had EPS. I thought that I understood about yeast, and I'm about 6 weeks into this diet, and I have never ever encountered anything like this in my life. The yeast is in your brain, in your bones, in your joints, in your organs, in your colon, and the thing that's really interesting is that as you stop feeding it and as you move to kill it, it feels like Muhammad Ali fighting every system in my body. It's not going quietly. It's not just saying, okay, Kinshasa, you want me to be gone? Okay, I'll be gone. Can you talk to us a little bit about yeast overgrowth and what's up with that? How is it that so many of us have yeast overgrowth in our bodies? How is it that we have such a major epidemic that is not talked about? And obviously, we live in a society that feeds it majorly. I know that it feeds on, I do believe that it feeds on sugar, gluten, and dairy is my understanding. Is that correct? And whatever you have to say about it, I'd appreciate it.
Well, that's a big question there, Kinshasa. And if you could just give me a moment to just kind of backtrack a little bit. When we look at the imbalances of, you know, you talked about the sweetness of life, it's about a person being connected to their purpose. You know, what makes you excited about getting up in the morning? You're doing what you love. It goes back to the love issue. What makes you excited about just, you know, life, and you don't even think about food or needing a need for some type of compensation with a dessert or some kind of candy or something like that? So when a person really disconnects with who they are and their connection to life, then this is when this whole syndrome begins. And that brings up the issue of microbes. Okay, I'm going to put yeast in the big category of microbes. So we're going to talk about viruses and bacteria and yeast because they all fit into this incredible paradigm of a microbial system in life that is there that acts like scavengers. What do microbes do? They scavenge dead material. So when you're alive and healthy, there's no yeast in the body. It's controlled by the immune system. There is a little bit of yeast in everyone's gut. It's there, but what's happened is we've lost the balance between the good microbes and the bad microbes. And we've turned loose these scavengers on all those parts of ourselves that have just started to die off or become more decayed. And so what they do, they just do what they naturally designed to do, to scavenge. Think about in nature, what happens in the woods when a tree falls over, you know, it gets into the soil, and all the microbes in the soil scavenge that tree and turn it back into the soil. But that tree was growing in that same soil. Why didn't those microbes scavenge it? Well, because it was healthy, it was alive, it was energetically, was immune to those scavenging microbes. The same thing happens in our body. Now, what very few of us realize, and this is going to be another shocker, I would think, to our audience, is that we have over 90 trillion microbes in our being, in our bodies. Okay? When you think about what that means in relationship to our cells, the body is made up of something like 10 trillion cells. So when you talk about 90 to 100 trillion microbes, you've got 10 times as much DNA that you're synergistically living with and controlling your systems throughout your body. Now, whether that's the good ones that are supporting your immune system and making vitamins and keeping you healthy and strong is dependent upon how much energetically you've sustained that ecology. If you start to lose that ecological balance and start to break down and decay in the body, guess what? The bad guys, the microbes that scavenge, start to take over. So again, when you look at the gut, you look at the intestines, you have something like 27 feet of intestines. But very few people realize that 27 feet represents a whole tennis court of surface area, because you have these villi and microvilli that create an incredible surface area for you to absorb food and for the microbes to live on. When we destroy this environment for these healthy microbes that are in the trillions, we lose the ability to digest food. We lose the ability to have healthy elimination, because the microbes, most of an individual stool, you know, what they eliminate and through the bowel is primarily should be microbes. We lose the ability to make B vitamins, which most people, you know, they suffer from anemia. Well, guess where you make B12? In the large intestine with these individual microbes. When we overconsume sweets, we drink chlorinated water, we take antibiotics, overuse antibiotics, which, you know, can save lives, but at the same time can create chronic disease if you overtake them. Or you don't replenish the good bacteria that have been destroyed when you do take the antibiotics. Okay? So all these things deal with the balance and the relationship we have with nature. So when conventional medicine looks at the GI tract as just plumbing, and they just throw chemicals down there so they can take pictures, or they probe with all kinds of invasive technology that destroys the integrity of the GI tract. Well, guess what? You're destroying your beingness, your connection to life. You're destroying your immunity. You're destroying your digestibility, your capabilities. You're destroying what many people don't realize is your endocrine and neurotransmitter function. 80% of the serotonin, which is used to help you rest and sleep and be calm. It's, you know, we create these serotonin reuptake inhibitors. These are drugs for depression. You know, when you think about the vast number of people that have depression, well, if we fix their guts, most of them would get out of depression because they start producing serotonin again, where 80% of it's produced. Instead of most people think it comes from the brain. No, it comes from the GI tract. Okay, so when you destroy this ecological environment that sustains your life, both as a neurological function down there, remember we talked about the gut brain, as a digestive function, as an immune function, 80% of your immunity is down in your GI tract, because this is where you have the most invasive onslaught of material coming in through your diet, through your food. You lose this protective barrier. The hydrochloric acid is lost from the stomach. You know, we're taking all these acid inhibitors when a person should be supported, and they're, instead of having low acid support, they're told to inhibit what little they do produce and produce less. And guess what? We take away the protective barrier for the bad microbes. We lose the ability to ionize our minerals that breaks down the mineralization of our bones. And we lose that ability to alkalize the body. We don't break down proteins well enough so that we can ingest them to build back the body and create all the good, you know, support biochemicals that we need to regulate the system. So this whole war-like mentality exists with antibiotics and kill the bugs, when we don't realize that most of the bugs are friendly. and they're there to support us, okay? And now when you have this ecological imbalance destroyed, you're making room for things like the yeast and the viruses and the bacteria to be more prevalent or more prolific in their, you know, proliferation throughout the body. So they move out from just the small intestine and they extend their tendrils and like a fungus, and they'll go in, become systemic. And just as you said, you'll find it in the different organs and different systems of the body. And then when you see it in the blood, this is very advanced, because when it's in the blood, then you know the person has a serious immune condition, because that's when you rarely see it in the blood, because that's, you only see it like in AIDS patients or cancer patients that have gone through chemotherapies and stuff that have suppressed their immunity.
I think that the piece that is so perplexing to me, no matter whether we're talking about yeast or cancer, diabetes, whatever, we're not getting the people that we're depending upon, the people who are the experts to give us information about it, are not providing us information about what it is that we need so that our systems are working well. And with the, you know, certainly in the business that I'm in, which is doing colonics, is that most folks don't have a clue how anything's working in their bodies. I would say that 90% of the clients that I see have yeast overgrowth. And the question that many people are asking is that even the recommendations that doctors are making for the various problems that they have in their body, they don't know whether they can trust it, because is the recommendation that you're making, are you making it because it's something that's in my best interest, or is it something that's in your best interest and the fact that you'll make money off of it? How am I supposed to trust what it is that you're saying? And so the economics of medicine, the way that it's practiced in this country, is an issue. I guess that's the question. On what basis can we trust what we're being told?
Well, this is what we face in my own practice, is that mind, body, and spirit. We know how important it is not to just give a person a solution to their issues, but to help educate them so that they have a better understanding of what created the condition and how they've evolved to have this disconnect with their body and nature and everything else that involves their health and well-being. Because the path of health is a journey. And we're constantly going to be challenged as our environment continues to become more toxic, as our foods become less nutrient dense, and they become altered genetically so that they're not in alignment with the evolutionary design that we've evolved with, that takes into consideration the microbes in our GI tract. The question you ask is that how can we trust what we're being told? Well, number one is to, through practitioners that educate, through programs like what you're doing here, Kinshasa, help the public get a better understanding of what their body is all about. You know, something that we should be learning in fifth grade and sixth grade science, educating our children about how the body really works, and it's a manifestation of energy, and how energy can shift the body, whether it's thought processes or emotional issues or physical conditions and environments that change that energy perspective. Those are the things that, once we know more about it, we would take more responsibility. If you knew how much trauma and damage a cell phone could impact the electrical connection in the brain, or if you understood how an occasional dessert or sweet is good, but when you take it to an extreme, how much you stress the body and it becomes a toxin. Just like you wouldn't sit out in the sun for the first day of summer, for 2 hours and get sunburned, you wouldn't do the same thing with consuming this concentrated carbohydrate that's releasing all this solar energy into your system and giving you an internal burn. I mean, what happens when you take in too much sugar once you've compromised your adrenal and pancreatic and liver function? You get, you know, hypoglycemia. And what does that feel like? Well, it feels like a sunburn. You know, you feel headachy and sluggish and low energy, and you're creating this irritation and inflammation internally that your body has to come back from. So education is really the key, and really it should start as young as we can with the individuals. This is teaching a person about who they are and how to take more responsibility for their bodies. It's about going after the legislators who really are in the pockets of the corporate industries that get to the foundation of health, which is our food and our insurance and our, you know, the pharmacological abuse that essentially that's out there. This I think is going to be the next revolution that we're going to face as a culture. We're going to wake up to the fact that we're not getting any healthier, even though we're spending more money and asked to participate and create more, you know, funds for healthcare. We're losing the battle with the chronic degenerative diseases. Don't be put into the illusion that we're getting an answer for cancer, because all they're looking at is a 5-year study saying that if you've been in remission for 5 years, you've been cured. Well, guess what? The chemotherapies that are used will just destroy the cancer, but also destroy your body so that you can just hang on for 5 years. And then after that, you've got some other cancer because of the poisons that you've been administered, created something somewhere else. So unless the body is given back its integrity and brought into balance and reestablished the nutritional dynamics, you know, replenish the deficiencies that allow you to regulate your body in a healthy way, you've lost that battle. Start looking at heart disease as a problem of lack of energy and oxygenation and mineralization that exists throughout the body, the good fats and rather than the bad fats. And you look at diabetes as a condition of a metabolic disorder of insulin production and not something that's a blood sugar issue. These are the kinds of things that we need to learn and wake up to. It's not complex. The body really is an incredible, miraculous machine that heals and repairs itself if we can just give it what it's looking for. And what it's looking for is to stay connected to its natural processes that it's evolved with. And once we've disconnected with those, then we start to go downhill.
Dr. Morris, let our listeners know how they can reach you if they might want to consult with you or might want more information.
Well, they can reach us, they can learn more about us at our website, which is mbspirit.com. That stands for mindbodyspirit.com. If they live in the area, we'd be happy to hear them by phone as well and ask any questions about who we are and what we do. My partner and significant other, Tina Johnson, she's also a practitioner, and you could reach either one of us at 651-452-2955. As a medical intuitive, she really specializes in understanding where there's energy blocks and issues of, you know, trauma that exists that have created imbalances in the body. And she understands, you know, does, I think you've experienced some of her raw food classes that are incredible of, you know, getting people to understand how good food can taste good as well as be fun to do and support an individual and just regaining their health and well-being.
Dr. Chris Morris this evening on Health Notes.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org.
I mean, this is not the kind of music that comes from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
No.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis, around the world, KFAI.org, Community's True Voice. I'm Krista Wax. We're back at it again. Another round of MSB Sound. All Minnesota music from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. every Monday. And in the archives. What a beautiful day. I love the sunshine. Happy to see it. It's Indigenous Peoples Day. Happy Indigenous Peoples Day. Great show tonight. A lot of new music. A lot of events. Rocktober is rocking. What can I say? A lot of options, a lot of things to do. Let's kick tonight's show off.